541 on the sports line. Welcome back to the show. Rich Roth, Ed Lane rolling along with you here on a Wednesday. This portion of the show brought to you by Randolph College, Master of Arts in Teaching, featuring a 99% job placement rate after just 1 year. Of course, it is a one-year program, Ed.
Yes, it is.
So upon completion of the program, you have a 99% chance of getting a job teaching the subject that you love. The program is nationally accredited. It's very affordable. And again, it runs only 1 year. Program runs from May to May. That's already passed. But it also runs from August to August. So if you're interested in becoming a teacher, if you've got a degree in something that you don't really enjoy working in the profession, or you know, maybe you have one of those degrees that doesn't really have any jobs affiliated with it, maybe you'd like to teach.
What degree are you referencing?
There are all kinds of degrees.
Communications, history, just to name a couple.
Well, communications. There are tons of jobs out there in communications. I think I've talked to two history teachers in the last 3 days, and none of them do have anything to do with history. Is that true?
Two history teachers or history majors?
Majors. Who's the other one we had on the show the other day? We'll see what Brian
Gary
Randall majored in. Maybe. RandolphCollege.edu/teach for more details and information.
Well, if I recall correctly, Brian Randall was looking to get into coaching, so a lot of guys that do that go the route of teaching
they do.
As well.
Brian Randall joins us now on the Sports Line, former Virginia Tech Hokie. Brian, what was your major in?
My major was sociology. I got a master's in health and nutrition.
Sociology. Okay, so what do you do with you kind of help people, right? I mean, there are jobs in sociology.
Yeah, so you got social work, you got the study of people, and honestly, I mean, I didn't know what I wanted to major in. I didn't want to do PE.
Right.
Took a sociology class during the summer session, and I thought it was real interesting about studying people, thinking maybe later on I still get into coaching.
And then, of course, health and nutrition would tie pretty much right into that.
Right, especially if you're thinking, you know, high school and, you know, want to be a coach. Maybe, you know, you go to the gym way.
Yeah.
The health PE way, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's what a lot of coaches do. They're health PE teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that leads to an athletic director spot at some point if you want to get into administration. But you're still interested in coaching, right?
Yeah, I am still interested in coaching. You know, I've been lacing them up for a long time now. I haven't quite got to the coaching coaching aspect yet of the football, but I'm kind of looking into it.
we get older a little quicker than we'd like, don't we?
We do, and I'm stretching it out. I think I've stretched it out a long time. People still ask me how I played, and they tell me, you know, play as long as you can. So I've been healthy a long time. I've been blessed and to still be playing now, but you know, I'm winding down.
When you're playing, do you change your focus now in terms of working with other players, younger players, knowing that your career is at a point where, hey, you may not be playing a whole lot longer, and coaching and communicating is something you'd be looking to do?
Well, you know, I mean, just being a quarterback in itself is one of those positions where, you know, you're in a leadership position whether you're young or not. The biggest difference is now, you know, I'm not the 23-year-old guy looking at a veteran. I am that veteran. And guys are coming in, I ask my old y'all when they're born in the 90s, so then I start to feel real old, you know, playing with some of my teammates now. Some of my teammates just turning 22, 23, so I guess I'm that veteran guy now.
Talk a little bit about where you're playing and how that's going for folks who don't know.
Well, just this recent past year in September, I ended up playing in China. They started an indoor football league in China, and we were able to basically play 7 games, and we toured around the city. The league is made up of 11 Chinese players and 11 American players on each team. A lot of guys who play arena football in the States traveled over there, and it was a great time. We had a really good experience over there, and the Chinese players, as well as the year went on, they really got started to get a grasp of what was going on. So it was a fun time.
What was the biggest thing that you enjoyed when you were over in China? Because, I mean, you know, that's a place that not a lot of people who are listening to this show right now are going to ever wind up going. What was the coolest part of that experience for you?
The coolest part for me was definitely the Great Wall. When we were in Beijing, we got to go see the Great Wall, and you know, it's one of the 7 wonders of the world. And when you actually get a chance to go there, I mean, it really is incredible. You know, when you hear the history, how it was built, and then when you actually see it, I mean, it's amazing.
Our buddy Carl Miller, Lynchburg-based realtor, ran a marathon there and got through a good chunk of it. Did that idea ever cross your mind?
Definitely not. We walk one part of the wall, and they said, you know, it's supposed to be the hard part. And, you know, you get to a couple parts where it's almost walking like you're walking straight up, you know, and then you turn back and you look from where you just walked and you look at the rest of the wall. Nah, that would never be in my sight to finish running a marathon on that wall. Never.
I could only imagine if stadiums were constructed that way. Anybody that acted out and the coach said, go hit it.
Hey, that'd be a real punishment.
Brian Randall joining us here on the Sports Line, former Virginia Tech Hokie, as you just heard, still playing football with an eye towards coaching down the road. And, you know, recently another honor bestowed on you, being inducted into the VHSL Hall of Fame. That's you know, another neat feather in your cap, Brian.
Yeah, that was definitely a great honor. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you really start to feel like you're getting old again. You know, you're getting honored for what you did in high school and some of the guys and some of the other honorees, you know, look at some of the things that they had did in high school. And it just tells you how time flies. But I definitely was honored, you know, to be recognized by the VHSL. And, you know, just looking back, it brought back a lot of memories and a lot of hard work that I put in high school. It was definitely worth it.
What role did high school football play in shaping you and your love for the game?
Well, you know, the thing about high school and before I moved to college was, you know, I played both sides of the ball. You know, I played offense and defense, and, you know, that has to be one of the hardest things in my opinion. You know, I felt like I used to be run ragged sometimes, you know, playing a game and how tired I used to feel. And, you know, I think it built me up mentally to a point where, you know, I felt like there wasn't anything that I couldn't conquer. And when I got to college and I was only playing quarterback, I mean, physically, it was easier on me. You know, I was like, man, that's all I got to do. I don't got to get hit in practice. I ain't got to hit nobody. And so mentally, it just made me stronger. I think the high school made me mentally ready for some of the things I had to endure in college.
Hey, when you come across football fans, Hokie fans, what's the one question that they tend to ask you the most?
I think one of the questions that I get asked the most would probably be, how do you feel about that you didn't get a shot?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, people always, you know, say, you know, I can't believe, you know, you were this, you were the ACC player of the year, your senior year, you went undrafted, I can't believe that. But, you know, how do you do it? How do you feel about it? You know, how do you keep playing? Like, how do you keep, you know, keep going, you know, after that? And I think, you know, it's just one of those things where I don't mind. I think my story and what I went through, you know, it built character, you know, for me. And some of the things I went through at Tech, it already built me up, you know, built me up mentally to be ready for anything. So it's a tough game. It's a tough league, you know, to get into. And I don't regret anything, you know, that's happened in my career. It's definitely made me the person I am today.
How close did you get? I mean, what was, you know, like you touched on, you didn't get drafted. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, you wanted to play football. You know, mm-hmm. at what point did you think you were the closest to maybe making a roster?
The closest I was to making a roster was my second year in Atlanta. I was on the practice squad the first year, and in 2006, I was coming in, and through the summer and everything, I was the third-string quarterback. And they had just released Ty Detmer, and I went through the summer as a third-string and everything worked out. You know, I had a good feel for the offense that next year, and they ended up drafting DJ Shockley from Georgia. And preseason-wise, I had a good preseason. I did everything they were looking for from me. You know, in the preseason, and it just so happened that, you know, at the end of the day, and it was a shock to me when it happened, but I ended up getting released after the third preseason game. They didn't even allow me to play the fourth preseason game, and I think they did it to basically probably avoid controversy if I had a good game and he had a good game going into that last game. And I felt that was one time where I felt like they actually took something from me, which I had proved that I deserved. And right then, I mean, I really just knew that, you know, it was a business and there were, you know, a lot of politics involved, and it just wasn't my time.
Former Virginia Tech quarterback Brian Randall with us here on the Sports Line. During your time in Blacksburg, you split some games with Marcus Vick. We know he had some troubles there, and you ended up taking over as a starter and really having a distinguished career. We've seen what Michael's been able to do, the trials, the resuscitation of his career, and then the news within the last week, unfortunately, about their father and the arrest and the heroin ring. And I just bring all that up because I'd be curious to hear your overall assessment. You probably have a much better feel for who they really are and can give people a true insight into that family. Based on your knowledge and interactions, what light can you shed on the Vick family?
Well, I had a chance to really, get to know Marcus when I was at Tech. And I didn't really know Michael until I ended up leaving Tech and getting to Atlanta. But the thing about me and Marcus, we always had a good relationship. When he first got there, he was highly touted. And, it was a lot of talk going on of, what was going to happen, if I was going to be benched or anything. But through all that, through all the shuffling of the quarterbacks at Virginia Tech my junior year, me and Marcus' relationship, it really never wavered. We were always very supportive of one another. And, it could have easily went the other way, just from the fact of, the outside sources were, wanted to be a battle and, me versus him and everything that we did. But, on the field, yes, we battled. But off the field, me and Marcus never had an issue. Marcus has always supported me. I've always supported him. Even when he got suspended, we used to talk. When he got suspended, he called back, telling me, good game, and, just supporting me. So me and his relationship has always been good, even till this day. And when I got down to Atlanta and met Mike, Mike took me right under his wing when I got down there. And it's getting to know the person that, I know Mike for, not necessarily the people on the outside. Mike is a great guy. Through all the things that have happened, we all make mistakes, and Mike made a terrible mistake. And he's the first one to admit it. But to this day, I still see Mike as a great guy. He's always been a good friend to me. We've always been able to talk about anything. And I think people, they look at the one thing that he's done, he's paid his price for it. He's done his time. He's come back, and he still does things in the community. He still reaches out to kids. And I think, it's really sad that, people, they build their opinion on him and they don't even know him really, because we've all made mistakes, in our past. And if everybody's skeletons are let out the closet, I'm sure everybody has something to say about everybody. So it's definitely sad. But, being in the position that he's in, everything is going to be, magnified times 1,000. Like I said, what he did was definitely wrong, but he's paid his time. And, we talk all the time. We play golf all the time now. We've become really good friends. So that's my man right there. And, we'll have a relationship till that day I die.
Brian, what's next for you?
What's next for me? I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, I've been playing for so long, and I'm kind of in that transition period right now to where I'm trying to figure out exactly what I want to do. I've looked into things such as, getting into public speaking or maybe doing some type of broadcasting, and then you got the coaching side. I love the game. I love the sport. I love kids. I'm just not exactly sure, what direction I want to go right now. So it's kind of at that. I'm kind of at that point in my life where it's heavily on my mind a lot, and I'm just praying about it and, trying to get things together so I can move forward. And when I do start my career, it's something that I want to go put 100% in. And that's why it's kind of one of those things that's pretty tough for me, because I just don't want to get into something just to do it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to put my whole heart into it, and that's always how I've always been.
Brian, we got to go, but we appreciate the time. It's always great catching up with you, and congrats again on the VHSL Hall of Fame. And we'd love to stay in touch. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have me on anytime. I appreciate it.
We certainly will. Thanks. Brian Randall joining us here on the Sports Line. Interesting story. Yeah, playing in college with Marcus, that must have been a circus, man.
To manage it the way he did, he seems so level-headed, though.
Oh, there's no question. You have to have a certain mentality to be able to deal with that. And who's forget just all the other stuff that went on with Marcus. Forget all that stuff. The starting, not starting, moving back and forth, who's in, who's out. But then when you throw in the circus that Marcus Vick brought, he talked about the suspension, and we know what led to that.
Yes, and then craziness. The Elvis Dumervil ankle incident, which ultimately got him out of Virginia Tech. Ironically, Dumervil's gone on to have a great NFL career. Mm-hmm. And then Vick, I don't know Marcus Vick to be able to say whether he's a good person or a bad person. I think that's reserved for people closer to him. I do believe he's had a number of lapses in judgment and decision making that have consistently and unfortunately unflowed and unfurled since he's left Blacksburg. And I think you have to point that out when you assess Marcus Vick, especially the incident with his dad last week and the heroin bust. If anything, maybe it explains some of the upbringing issues that they've had in their family. I know the Football Life documentary that the NFL did within the last year or so chronicled that complex relationship, but I think it does shed some more light onto that overall family dynamic.
Well, and it's too bad for Brian Randall that he gets wrapped up in all the Marcus and Michael Vick stuff, but part of who he is, and he's gone on to do some really cool things, surprising, I'm sure, to a lot that he's still playing, but nonetheless, congrats to Brian Randall. We're back tomorrow at 4:00.